Good morning, Evanston Avenue. I'm Tina.
Keith Pruitt, outside linebacker, the Michigan State University.
Oh, wait. What are you doing?
I thought we could do the whole thing like they do on the Super Bowl, where the players do the slow turn and say their name and their school.
But you didn't even go to Michigan State.
Yeah, well, Muskegon Community College doesn't even have a football team, so I had to improvise.
You could have at least picked a winning team.
Hey, now. Anyway, welcome to church this morning. We're glad that you could join us. The ushers are coming up to take up our morning's tithes and offerings. While they do that, we want to let you know how you can get connected at Evanston.
So check it out.
Ooh, you're going to be in so much trouble for that one.
They know what I'm talking about.
We have a lot of things coming up, and if you want to stay up to date with our latest events and gatherings, then look no farther than your bulletin.
There's a ton of information in our bulletin to keep you informed of our weekly events. And in the bulletin, you'll also find our connection card. If you fill it out, we'll make sure that you stay up to date with all the things going on at the church.
You can also use that card to let us know if you need prayer or would like someone from the church to contact you.
So if you would please fill out that card and leave it on the pew when you leave, one of our amazing ushers will pick it up for you.
And if you're more of a techie, you can find an expanded calendar and connection form on our website.
The website is a great resource where you can find all the information you're looking for, and you can listen to the Sunday school lessons and sermons with the slides and everything.
So head on over to EvanstonAvenueBaptist.com or follow us on social media to stay connected. It's almost time for Pastor Matt, but before that, we have a couple of important announcements.
First, we want to remind everyone that the new mailboxes have been assigned, so make sure you check the list because your number may have changed.
Also, we have another chili kickoff coming up at the end of this month.
This time, we will be joining up with a couple of other area churches for a big fellowship event.
We'll have more details on our website or in the office, so make sure you check it out.
And we'd be in big trouble if we didn't remind the youth that there will be no hype at the church tonight, but we will see you at the Schmidt House for a Super Bowl party.
Come for the food and the commercials, because we all know that the game is going to be a blowout.
Easy there. If you're not in hype, Bible Times Club will still be meeting at its normal place and time.
So remember, hype, partay at the Schmidt, and Bible Times Club, well, party on, kids, at their normal time and place.
Well, now that we have you up to speed, it's time to grab a pencil and take out your Bibles.
And if you don't have a Bible, feel free to take one of ours from the pew. It's our gift to you.
Now here's Pastor Matt continuing our series, The Walk, with his sermon on Jesus' burden for Jerusalem.
All right. Is football time already?
Yeah. Go sports, ball team, or whatever.
You're just doing it for the
cup. Here's Pastor Matt.
Well, thank you guys for showing up on Super Bowl Sunday. Glad you guys could be here. We're going to have our ushers come forward. I'm going to pray for our offering, of course. And then I do have a couple of other quick things that we need to bring to your attention this morning. All right. And by the way, if you have a bulletin, you should have a note sheet in there. We always encourage you guys, take notes as I'm going through the message, anything you want to remember. But always on your note sheet, there's always a little box, there's a little bit of information for a website called said.today. That's just a place where you can give me some feedback. And whenever you do, it comes to me anonymously, and those who participate do get entered into a drawing, because I'm quite blatantly trying to bribe you just to do that, just so you know. But right now, let's just give thanks to the Lord for everything he's done, for all the gifts that he's given us, and just as we enter into this time of the Word. Father God, we love you, we praise you, we bless your name. Lord, you are the giver of every good gift. Lord, we thank you for the many ways that you have blessed us. And Lord, as we give back to you a small portion of what you've given us, Lord, we just declare our trust in you. And Lord, we just recognize that as you have given us these things, we return them to you, receive them in the spirit with which they are given. Father, we also ask that as we open your word, may your Holy Spirit enliven our hearts, that our lives may be transformed by the truth of your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you, guys. A couple of things. First of all, always check your bulletin. Lots of good stuff there. But there's a couple of communication pieces that we need to get out there because we had our annual business meeting last week, which is loads of fun for those of you who missed it. Anytime you can engage in parliamentary procedure in a church setting, it is a time worth having. Amen? But this is kind of the start, then, of our official year, so there's a couple of things that we changed. First of all, I've already been asked the question, why did we reshuffle the mailboxes? We just did that last year. Here's the reason why. We've had more people coming into our church fellowship, and so we always want to be the church that doesn't just kind of tack the new people on the end. Amen? Because nothing says you're part of our family like you get the box at the end of the row because you got here late. We always want to be the church that welcomes people in, vibrantly draws people into relationship. And so one very small way of reminding us of that is we reshuffle the mailboxes so that everyone who's come to join Evanston Avenue Baptist Church, or at least hang out with us regularly, they get a mailbox and they're part of the family. Amen? So I'm sure we can all handle just a little bit of inconvenience just so people feel welcomed, right? Awesome sauce. You've heard me over the last few weeks inviting you guys to give us your text number, your phone number, or your email if you want to be a part of the Evanston Avenue Baptist Prayer Chains. Those will be starting, kind of a new format will be starting this week, so kind of watch for emails and phone calls or whatever you asked us. However you asked us to send you stuff will be showing up in a trial run this week, so just be ready for that. And then last but not least, you heard it on the video, I want to emphasize it here. We're going to be doing a fellowship event February 26th, so the last Sunday of this month, that is the chili cook-off. It's going to be a little different because normally we just do the chili cook-off here. And every year since I've been here, I've lost the chili cook-off. So we're going to redo the odds a little bit. We've invited other churches to participate with us. And so we're actually not going to have it here. Our chili cook-off is going to be at Norton Pines. It's a fitness center. Half the people went, yes! The other half went, no. But we have the pool. We have the basketball court. I think we have a rock climbing wall. And for those who are like me that do better stationary on the ground, they have this really awesome lounge area. And that's where we'll have the food, and that's where we'll have all the unhealthy things that people can do at a fitness place. Right now we have two or three other churches that are going to jump in with us. And so it'll be just a great time of unity in the body of Christ starting at 5 p.m. February 26th. So that's the date. That's the time. Mark your calendars now. It'll be great. All right. All right, my friends, let's turn our attention to God's Word here just a little bit, because this is what we base our life on. So we want to make sure we always spend time every week reading and understanding and unpacking God's Word for our lives. I want to invite you can join me in Luke chapter 13. Now, if you were here last week, and if you were kind of doing the math on the passages, you'll realize very quickly that we're somewhat out of order because Zacchaeus was our passage last week, and now that was in Luke 19. Now we're kind of back in Luke 13. But here's the reason why. Since September, we have generally speaking, we've been going through all of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first four books in the New Testament. We've generally been going in order. And so, but then last week we kind of got out of order, and the reason is we switched. This was the message that was supposed to be last week, but because we added Family Sunday, you'll see why, but it just seemed like it was way more practical to engage young people with the story of Zacchaeus than Jesus' burden for Jerusalem. Hard to find coloring pages for the passage today. So we got it out of order, and that's okay. Really, you wouldn't know that unless I told you, but yes, I do schedule sermons about a year in advance. So that's why, if you are paying attention, why it's a little bit out of order. But as we're starting this, I just want to ask you guys to kind of think about when was the time when you just found yourself weeping? And I don't mean at funerals, but I mean sometime other than the loss of a loved one. When was there a time when you found yourself weeping? I know it's not the funnest way to start a sermon. Normally we like to try to be kind of vibrant and engaging and tell funny stories, but today is going to be a little bit of a heavier passage. We're going to see Jesus, you know, having a real burden for. And it's and in one of the other passages it talks about him weeping over the city of Jerusalem. So before we dig into that, I just want you guys to start thinking, you know, what was a time when you were just moved to weep? And it can be surprising things. You know, as I was reflecting on that this week, I was drawn back to a time when I was a younger kid. It was back in the late 80s. Don't do the math. But back in, because for some of you, I'm really young. And for some of you, you're like, wow, he's old. I'm in the middle age. That's where I am. But it was back when I was a kid in the 80s. And one of our cool family traditions was every Saturday night, we would get two pizzas from Pizza Hut, or at least cardboard with cheese on it, whatever it was. We would get two pizzas delivered, and we would watch a movie together as a family. And I remember this very vividly because it was the first time when I was kind of old enough to process, you know, my emotions and all that. And we're watching this movie. I don't even know if I could find it anymore. It's called The Dog of Flanders. Somebody else has seen it. Not to ruin it for anyone else, the dog dies in the end. You know. And you know, it's a sad movie and all. But our whole family, all of us, even my dad when he was alive, if you needed an image of my father, think of the big blue eagle on the Muppets. That was my dad. There's nothing sacred. You know, that was him. And we're all weeping. You know, we have the ugly cry going on because the dog dies at the end. You know, and I like animals and all, but I'm not usually that emotional about movies, even to this day. But of course, the reason that this all hit me and hit all of us so hard was about 2 months before we had to put our beloved dog down. Not a good movie to watch when you're grieving the loss of a family pet. And so here we all are, just literally weeping. And it made me realize that even when it's something like a movie that's triggering us to cry, it's usually not because the movie is so well done. Maybe it is. But sometimes it's because that movie, that art, whatever it is, touched something deep in our soul. And another one, just to kind of keep it on a safe level as far as emotions, I remember very vividly I watched another movie later on as an adult called The Second Chance. Most of you, anybody heard of it? Okay, other than my wife who was with me, nobody else has. It was a Christian, or it still is, it's a Christian movie. It stars Michael W. Smith. Michael W. Smith plays a guy who used to be a musician and now is a worship pastor, which is kind of easy for him to play. It's kind of like when Arnold Schwarzenegger plays a big muscular dude with an Austrian accent. He's really good at playing that role. But it was this movie about Michael W. Smith, and it was an okay movie. It was good, but it wasn't groundbreaking. It didn't get nominated for Oscars. But there was one scene in particular that ministered to my heart in such a powerful way. And it wasn't even that great of a scene from an acting standpoint. But my wife is patting me on my knee going, "You're a marshmallow." As literally I'm bawling my eyes out. Because at one point in time in the movie, there was a character in the church who had sinned against another member of the church and had responded by washing that church member's feet. And just having been around and having experienced so much garbage from church folk at that point in time in my life, just the beauty of that moment ministered to something deep in my heart. You see, when something comes to the surface, when our emotions get the better of us and we start weeping, and I don't mean the little tear down the cheek, but when it's that body convulsing, depths of my soul weeping, something deep in our heart, something that's near and dear to our hearts and our lives has been touched. And I bring that up simply because what we're going to see here today is we're going to see how near and dear and how much emotion Jesus feels when he's just looking at the city. So I'll invite you to join me here. We're in Luke chapter 13. Almost the exact same words are in Matthew 23. There's a couple of different reasons for it. But Jesus is on his way. He's heading to the cross. You know, we're going to get there. We're going to be kind of following Jesus this entire way, and we'll get there with him. to the foot of the cross right before Easter, of course. But as Jesus is coming, he's coming into the city, and he sees this view. Go ahead, Jackson. Minus the Dome of the Rock, but he was looking from this vantage point. Obviously not quite as many modern buildings as at the day. But as he was looking, the heart of Jesus begins to break. The Matthew passage, we see it clearly. We'll see it here as well. Jesus starts to have a burden, to show his burden for this city and its people. So I invite you to join me. We're in Luke chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. And it says this, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who are sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. And I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Powerful stuff. And part of what's going on is Jesus at this moment is beginning to present himself as the king, as the Messiah. And the people of Jerusalem keep rejecting him. The Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes and the people who should know the word of God kept rejecting him. And now as he stares out over the city of God, over the city of Jerusalem, his heart starts breaking for his people. And so people of God here at Evanston Avenue Baptist Church, my question for you today is, what breaks your heart? What stirs your soul when it comes to the mission of God? What breaks your heart? A dear pastor friend of mine said it this way, we're all passionate about reaching people for Jesus, but then something else breaks our heart. Something else wrecks us. And for Jesus, it was this. And I want to unpack for just a little bit what we can pick out from these just two very short verses about the burden that Jesus Christ has for Jerusalem and, in fact, for all people. And the first thing we see is this. Jesus knows the sins of the city. Look at what he says. "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you." Now, the English language loses some of this, but in the Greek, again, not that we're going to get overly hung up on the grammar, but there's something called a present participle that's ongoing. What Jesus is saying is that when Jerusalem, when the leaders of Jerusalem would kill prophets, it wasn't just a one-time fluke. It wasn't just a caught-up-in-the-moment thing. It's that regularly, throughout its history, on an ongoing basis, the city of Jerusalem, the people and the leaders of Jerusalem would kill the very prophets and the very ones that were sent by God to be his witnesses to them. And that's Jesus' way of saying that he knows. He knows the sins of the city. He knows it. And we got to keep that in mind. We have to remember that. Because Jesus Christ has put us in this city. And so one of the questions is, does our heart break for Muskegon? Does our heart break for Muskegon County? Does our heart break for the United States of America? Not because we're better, but because this is where we are. Does your heart break for Muskegon? Because yes, there is sin in this city. We can talk about it all day long. There was another kid last week who was shot and killed in Muskegon Heights. That's right over there. There is tremendous sin and brokenness in our city. We see it on the news in our country, do we not? How much division do we see? There's people who hate the new president, people who love the new president. Our country is divided. We can point to that. We can point to the moral fiber of our country that's falling apart. Yes, the sins of the United States of America can be easily seen. We can broaden it out to the sins of the whole world. And Jesus is saying to the city that he was sent to, I know your sins. I know the sins of the people. I know the sins of your city. And for us, when we become aware of the sin going on around us in the communities we live, we have two choices. Well, three. We'll give it three choices. We can run, we can hide, or we can witness. When we are aware of the sins in Muskegon going on around us, we run, we hide, we witness. Those are the three choices. What choice do you make? Do you run, do you hide, or do you witness? For those of you who don't know me well, I spent the last 8 years prior to coming here in the city of Chicago. My family has strong roots in the city of Chicago. My mom grew up in Cicero, which is a rough neighborhood even then. It's a rougher neighborhood now. My dad grew up in the suburbs, but it was still Chicago. And there's an interesting phenomenon that happened in Chicago in the 60s and in the 70s. It's called white flight. That doesn't sound like a good term, and it shouldn't. Because as people of African-American descent left the inner city of the city of Chicago and they started to move into the suburbs, the white people said, that's not good. They're going to bring crime with them. And they moved. I'm not making it up. That literally happened. No reason for it other than a skin tone associated with criminal activity. And the white people left their communities. And you can track it. They went from Roseland and South Holland down, and they kept moving down and down and down. Until in the 90s, the place where people were moving because crime was moving in, which happened to be associated with darker skin, was Dyer, Indiana. The response of many people from my heritage were to run for no reason other than skin tone and a fear. And yes, there's crime. Yes, there's crime. The choice for us as Christians, however, is this. Do I run, do I hide, or do I witness? And part of my heritage is my people ran because they were afraid. I think that's wrong. Because when I see Jesus crying out about Jerusalem and knowing the sins of Jerusalem, he was going towards Jerusalem, not away from it. He was going to, think about this, he was going to the people who would kill him. He knew the sins of the city. He knew the sins they were going to do. And yet Jesus went to the city. He did not run. He did not hide. He went on mission. We know the sins of Muskegon. They're easy to see. Evanston Avenue Baptist Church, do we run, do we hide, or do we witness? I witness. I invite you to join me. Because the only hope for this community, thankfully, is not Evanston Avenue Baptist Church. The only hope for this community is Jesus Christ. And he has put Evanston Avenue Baptist here to tell as many people around us as we can of the new life they can have. Because what we also see in Jesus' words is this. We see that Jesus Christ, who knew the sin of the people, who knew the sin of the city, yet his response is so beautiful. How often I have longed to gather your children together. I love that. I love that we see this beautiful image of Jesus Christ gathering the children around as a mother hen. And the image of that, I mean, it seems weird that Jesus is a mother hen, but think about it. Jesus' love is so great, even for those who are going to sin against him, that his desire was still to gather them together, to protect them, to provide for them. Because that's what a mother hen does. And when Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, his words to those who sinned against him were, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. Because his love for them was far greater than their sin against him. Because in spite of the sin, Jesus Christ loves the city and its people. Evanston Avenue Baptist Church, does your heart break for the people of Muskegon? There are thousands who need Jesus. There are thousands around this church who do not have dads or moms or anyone that can speak the truth of Jesus Christ into their life. And that's why God has put us here, to fall in love with the city and its people, because they need Jesus. And his love for them is so much greater than their sins against him. That's what we see. That in spite of the sin, which Jesus fully knew, his desire was still to gather, to protect, and to provide for the people of the city. And it doesn't matter what your city is, if your city is an actual city or if it's a neighborhood far out in the rural country. Doesn't matter. Wherever Jesus has put you, the question is, does your heart break for the people? Because the reality is, when we become aware of the sinfulness of people, we can become those who run or those who hide, those who pull back the love of Jesus Christ because we're afraid. Are you wrecked by the need that people have for Jesus Christ? Does that wreck you? If you're here as a Christian, it should. And then there's this next phrase that Jesus mentioned. And this one should stop all of us short just a little bit. And he talks about how he longs to gather us together like a mother hen gathers her chicks. But you were not willing. You were not willing. You see, my friends, the love of Jesus Christ is a love that's pure, but it offers us a choice. He said to the people of Jerusalem, how I longed to love you and provide for you and protect you and to give you eternal life, but you chose not to. You were not willing. And that should settle us just a little bit because of this. Jesus' love, he loves with freedom. Ravi Zacharias, a brilliant thinker and theologian, he has said that love is our greatest ethic, and that true love gives freedom. I would say it a little bit differently. I would say that love without freedom is not love. Love without freedom is conquest and control. And as the God who made this universe, the God who, you know, Psalm 24 says the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, God has the right to say that I'm just going to grab you against your will and drag you into heaven. But because of his love, the love of Jesus gives freedom. Jesus Christ does not force us to receive him as Savior. It is not automatic. We have to make a choice. How do you respond to Jesus Christ? The first response is, do I believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior or not? And if we choose or not, then we're separated from him for all eternity. We call that hell. If we choose to believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then our eternal destiny is heaven. And you can see that even in what Jesus was saying. Look, your house is left desolate. Because they willfully chose, because the city, the people of Jerusalem, the leaders of Jerusalem, because they willfully chose to reject Jesus, there was a consequence. They were left, their house was left desolate. So what choice do we have? If you're here and you do not believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, my challenge to you, my invitation to you, is to respond to the love of Jesus Christ, to accept him as your Lord and Savior. I'm not one of the hellfire and damnation preachers who tries to scare people into heaven. All I can do is present to you the option, which is Jesus Christ loves you. He wants you to be with him. And he paid the price on the cross to take away all of your sins and all of my sins so that we could be with him. And he came out of the tomb so that we could have new, eternal, everlasting life. He did all of it. And all we have to do is choose to receive it. We're not ever going to guilt trip or manipulate people into believing. All we're going to do is make it real clear. If you believe in Jesus, you get to be with him in heaven for all eternity. If you don't believe in Jesus, you go to hell. Those are your options. I wish there was a third choice. Actually, I don't. Heaven's pretty awesome. I don't want to go anywhere else. But Jesus loves us with freedom, and he gives us the opportunity to choose how we respond. How do you choose? If you're here, most of us have already chosen to believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But the same love holds true. He is giving us a mission. He gives us commands. But we still have to choose to obey. We still have to choose to follow him, to be his disciple, to model every aspect of our life after him. We have to make those choices. Because spiritual maturity is not automatic. We have to be obedient. And the love of Jesus gives us the freedom to do that. How do you choose? The choice for me remains. As I have chosen to believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I can say before you with all certainty that Jesus is my Lord. And whenever I leave this body, I will step into eternity. And in the meantime, my choice is this. I will choose to witness, never to run, never to hide, but to be about the mission of God. That's what he's put us here for. And my choice is to answer the call. What is your choice? Let us pray. Father God, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for all that you are. We thank you for all that you have done. Father, we thank you that your love for us is so much farther beyond what we could possibly ask or imagine. We thank you that even though you know the true depths of our sin, that your love for us is far greater. We thank you that you've called us and given us the opportunity to respond to you in faith. So, Father, I lift up to you everyone in the sound of my voice this morning, and I ask that if there's anyone in the sound of my voice who does not know you as their Lord and Savior, Father, I simply ask that you would gently give their Holy Spirit touch to their heart, Lord, that they would know that they need you. And, Father, for anyone in the sound of my voice who believes in you already, Father, just remind us of the mission that you've called us to. May we choose to live in obedience to you. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the burden that you have for all people. May we share that burden with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. My friends, God's word tells us this. Jesus said that he loves us so much that he laid down his life for his friends. The love of Jesus Christ caused him to step into this world, to lay aside the glory of heaven that was rightfully his, to enter this world, to suffer and die in our place, so that we could live with him forever. The motivation for that is and was and always will be the depth of his love for you. So this morning, is this the first Sunday of the month, we remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross and the newness of life we have. So my invitation is this. If you are a Christian, if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're welcome to join us. The ushers will pass out the elements. We'll take them together. But if you're not a Christian, I invite you just to watch and to observe. I'll give you a moment and just a second here to receive Christ if you would like. But this is how we remember. This is how we focus our attention every month on the love that Jesus has for you. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. That's what we remember today. I'm going to invite those who are serving to come forward, please. We read this in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A person ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup." So part of our practice here at Evanston is we'll have a moment of just quiet music playing, and I invite you, spend time, do business with God. If there's something you need to confess or forgive, do so now. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we confess that as humans we have sinned against you. Your word teaches us that all of us have sinned and that all of us fall short of the glory of God. But Father, your word also teaches us that whoever believes in you, that there is no condemnation, that we are set free from that sin. So Father, we thank you that in Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. If there's anyone in the sound of my voice who does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior and would like to this morning, with every eye closed and every head bowed, I just want to give you an opportunity to do that. Pray silently with me these words. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I need you to save me from my sins. So I receive you, Lord Jesus, as my Lord and as my Savior. I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you that all of my sins are wiped away. And I thank you for eternal life through your Son, Jesus. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. My friends, God's word says this, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So whatever our sins were, Jesus Christ wipes them out because of what he did on the cross. So as we take that, let's remember what Jesus has done for us.
This is the body that was torn for us. This is the blood that was spilled. Points to the pain you endured for us. Points to the shame, the blame, the guilt. This is the Lamb who was slain for us, so we the church. may enter in. So bittersweet when we think of you, the one who bore a shame, a guilt.
Beloved by the Lord Jesus, take, eat, remember, and believe that the body of Jesus was broken for the complete forgiveness of our sins.
This is the body that was torn for us. This is the blood that was spilled. Points to the pain you endured for us. Points to the shame, the blame, the guilt. This is the Lamb who was slain for us, so we the church may enter in. So bittersweet when we think of you, the one who bore a curse, our sin.
Brothers and sisters, take, drink, remember, and believe that Jesus shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Let us pray. Father, you are a good Father. Your love for us as your children knows no limits. Father, you are a righteous judge. When you hold us accountable, you do it purely. Father, you are a powerful God who has overcome the powers of sin and death and hell. So, Father, we worship you this morning for the newness of life that we have, that we are no longer dead in our trespasses, but that we are alive as your dearly loved sons and your dearly loved daughters. So, Father, we praise you, we worship you, and we ask that this morning that the sacrifice of our praise is acceptable in your sight. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people say, amen. My friends, as God has blessed us, as God has given us his Son, as God has given us new life, I just invite, would you please stand as we close this morning in a time of worship and singing.
Greater things have yet to come. Father God, break our hearts for what breaks yours. Father God, open our eyes to the need around us this week. Father God, let us be used by you, because we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Lord, help us stand defiant in your name against sin. Help us stand defiant in your name, Father God, with love for those that you love. Jesus, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Amen. Amen. My hope and strength is gone. You're the one that calls me on, amen.
When my hope and strength is gone, you're the one that calls me on. You are the life, you are the fire that's in my soul. Oh, your resurrection power burns like fire in my heart. When waters rise, I lift my eyes up to you. We are more than conquerors through Christ. You have overcome this world, it's mine. We will not bow to sin or to shame. We are defiant in your name. You are the fire that cannot be tamed. You are the power in our midst, our Lord, our Christ is risen and on high. Greater is he living in me than in the world. No surrender, no retreat. We are free and we're redeemed. We will declare over despair. You are the hope. We are more than conquerors. Defiant in your name. You are the fire that cannot be changed. You are the power in our veins. Our Lord, our God, our conqueror. Thank you, Jesus. Nothing is impossible. Every chain is breakable. Nothing is impossible. It's breakable with you. We are victorious. You are stronger than our hearts. You are greater than the dark. With you, we are victorious. Nothing is impossible. Every chain is breakable. With you, we are victorious. You are stronger than our hearts. You are greater than the dark. With you, we are victorious. Nothing is impossible. Every chain is breakable. With you, we are.
Power in our veins.
My friends, if there's anything that I can pray with you about or for you about, if you have questions about anything, I'll be right up front. You're welcome to join me. But in the meantime, please go with this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be merciful unto you, and in all things give you peace. Amen. Go on, guys. Peace.